few years back, this church sent a team of us to Kenya for a time of teaching and ministry. On the return, coming back, we flew through London, and I'd always wanted to go to London for several reasons. C.H. Spurgeon's home and Metropolitan Tabernacle and the Crown Jewels and the Tower and St. Paul's Cathedral. All of those things were things I wanted to see and I wanted to experience. On this trip, my firstborn went with us to the mission in Africa, and my second son met us there in London. So the three of us had a couple of days to just discover London. It was really a very meaningful time, and I'll never forget the time. I remember seeing St. Paul's Cathedral, and you don't have to know anything about it other than to know it's just an incredible building dedicated to the glory of God. In the 1600s, 1675, is when the work began. And the work of St. Paul's was under the auspices of a world-renowned, at that time, architect, whose name was Sir Christopher Wren. One day, Sir Christopher Wren was walking the building, just the foundation of the building as it was being laid. And he stopped a man who was doing the works. And they didn't know who he was. They had hired hundreds of just common laborers to do the hard work of chiseling rock and making mortar and doing everything that it takes to do a foundation. Sir Christopher Wren stopped one man and he said, "What are you doing?" And the man responded, he said, I'm busting rock." He walks a little further down and he finds another man who's mixing mortar, and he stops this man and he said, What are you doing?" And the man said, "I'm mixing mortar. Can't you tell?" He walks yet further to a third man and he asks this man, he said, "What are you doing?" And here was the man's reply. "Why, I am helping Sir Christopher Wren build St. Paul's Cathedral." Quite a different take on work. As I think about that and the thought behind that statement, this man had a grander vision. He was doing a small part, but he had a grander vision. "I'm helping to build St. Paul's Cathedral." And when I think about what we've been studying as a church now for about 6 weeks, a passage found in Matthew 28, and I just want to reread it. You just stay in your seat. And I want you just to listen as I read these words. And I want to direct this to you who are involved in our Awana program. Matthew 28 in verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I think most of you that have been listening to these sermons over the past several weeks can tell me what the main verb in this sentence is, because I have mentioned it to you every week, purposely, so that you won't miss the main focus that Jesus is leaving with His disciples. Make disciples. That's the main idea in this great commission. Make disciples. The word disciple is a word that means learner, follower. That is exactly what the Awana program does. And by participating in Awana, either as a listener, as a secretary, as the leader, as whatever your part might be, you are involved in this great commission of making disciples. As we've been pointing these verses out to you, as you go, as you baptize, and as you teach, have the main idea in mind of making disciples. Now, I want you to do this for me. I want, if you have been involved in the Awana program, either as parent, as listener, as leader, in any way with the Awana program, stand up just real quick and remain standing. I want to take a look. Just take a look. Okay? Take a look around. Okay? You can be seated. Now, the next time someone asks you, what are you doing in Awana? I want your response to be like this laborer's response was. Why, I am helping Hanson Baptist Church fulfill the Great Commission. I am helping the local church that meets in Hanson to make disciples. I couldn't help but just be taken by the number of you leaders who have served 12 years. Wow, that's absolutely incredible. Next year is going to be our 13th year of this program that's now starting with toddlers. How incredible is that? That's like the little girl that was doing a little PTA program and they had different things that they had memorized for the program. And this little girl's, her parents were Christian and they wanted her to be able to say a Bible verse. So she gets up. And as she gets up on the stage, and her verse was, He is the light of the world. And so, she got up there and she got stage fright and she just froze. Well, the mother, knowing her child and knowing that she might have this problem, had a big cue card. And the cue card said, I am the light of the world. And the little girl saw it and she said, My mother is the light of the world! What can reciting Scripture do for our children and for our homes and for our world? It can put the right things in. You've heard the little expression G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. It's exactly what we're hoping as a church in our process of making disciples. That this Scripture memory will be, as the psalmist tells us, that it will become a light to our path, a light to our feet, a guide for us so that we will not sin against God. So this is a great program. It's helping us to fulfill the Great Commission. And this Great Commission is not just about sending our money to foreign missions. It's about the mission that meets right here every Lord's Day. And this is the last Sunday of this start of this year that we will be participating in Awana. We're going to give you a couple of months break. Are some of you glad for that? You need a break. You've been worked really hard. And then when the fall comes around, and Rhonda, do we know the exact date? Do you remember it? We will let you know. But I want to ask you today, will you help us fulfill the Great Commission? Will you help us teach and train and make sure that this Awana program is so well staffed this next year that if some of our 12-year servants want to take a rest, that they'll be able to? And even if you would like to just learn about this program, sign up. Put your name down. Make a commitment today. Don't wait until the fall to say, well, maybe I'll consider it. You consider it today. That if you would be willing on any level to commit yourself to helping us fulfill our Lord's Great Commission. And I want to say to you, children, and Hannah's memorizing these verses, wow. I saw a bunch of you have the same response that I did. Just tears, you're just welled up with, wow, this is incredible. This is God's Word. And we've taken the time, you've taken the time, the rest of you have taken the time to memorize this very Word of God that the Psalmist 119 says, oh, how I love Thy law. Wow. This is powerful. And it's incredible that God would bless us so to be able to participate in such a program as this. I just hope and pray that you will help us as we are serious about fulfilling the Great Commission. And this is our Lord's final words before He ascended to heaven. And He has put in our care this great call. So, the next time you're asked, what do you do in Awana? I hope your response will be, I'm helping Pastor Tom and Sronda. I'm helping Hanson Baptist Church. I'm helping the church that meets in that little town fulfill the mandate given to us by God Himself to go, to baptize, to teach in the process of making disciples. I hope and pray that you'll take this to heart and be serious about this work. And for those of you that have labored for us, God bless you. And I pray that these next couple of months will give you rest, that you will get your energy back, and that when the fall comes around and we set that date and we say August the 18th we're starting, or whenever it is, that we'll just have to say, sorry, we got too many. And then who knows what we'll do with that. Pray with me, will you? Lord, we are so moved by the dedication of all of these leaders to our program of memorizing Scripture, of teaching boys and girls how important God's Word is in a world and a culture that has no definitions of authority and no definitions of what is right. Lord, we thank You so much for keeping us to Your Word. And Lord, as the book of Nehemiah spoke to us last Lord's Day, that the people assembled as one and they tuned their ear to the Word, to the book. I pray that You will help us to do that in our private lives, in our public lives. Lord, that we would be a part of making this Word ours. Thank You for giving it to us. Thank You that we have it in so many different understandable English translations. There's just no excuse for us not to know the Word of God today. So we thank You and we praise You. I pray that You will give rest to those who have served. I pray that You will give them, Lord, reward for their labor, that they indeed will understand what plowing and hope means as they see the fruit and as we see the next church being raised and being prepared to fulfill this great commission of making disciples. Lord, may we see the grander vision. May we embrace it. And may we, with excitement and anticipation, take that next step. We thank You, Lord, for our missionaries. We pray for Tim as he's suffering from his illness, and we pray that You would help him bring recovery to him. I pray that he and Cheryl both will continue to plow in hope. And Lord, we just say thank You for Your blessing. And as we dismiss this service, Lord, we pray that hearts will be motivated to be laborers in the field. Help us each, Lord, to do our part. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.